Can you believe that? Somebody said they'd give me to 12:30 if we didn't have church tonight. That's what they said. That's a terrible bunch of people. I don't know if they act that way in Ohio, but they that way down here, I'm telling you. Who? Tim said he'd sing? Okay, well, anyway. Take your Bible this morning. Let's turn. While you're turning, Psalm 71, while you're turning, Bob Jinks over here, who's going to be moving soon, as a result of this remark he made after seeing the lapel button that Brother Chuck had on, he said, you know, we just don't have much to pick from. The country's going down already, so. It's always encouraging to have your members say that about their pastor. So I had to go to Ohio to find somebody that would vote for me to be the president of the United States. I still have a couple of those left over that I saved as souvenirs. So years from now, when people are remembering back, they'll wonder, did he really run for president? So I just don't know whether or not we get any votes. But I'm glad you're here today. And again, appreciate y'all being here, Chuck, you and your wife. And thank you for coming and being a part of things. Psalm 71, if you found it in your Bible, would you say amen? I'm going to read the first 8 verses, and then we'll jump into the message today. Psalm 71, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. I want to preach to you for a few minutes this morning on this thought, since we've been focusing on the faithfulness of God. The Lord never fails. I cannot raise my hand and say that that's me, but I can say this, that the Lord, though I have failed him, has never failed me. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for being a God that never fails. Help me in the moments I have to share your word. May your Holy Spirit enable me to say that which will honor you and then hush. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to hearts and draw us ever closer. Thank you for all of the solemnness that we have around Memorial Day. But Lord, we do have to go on. We have to march forward. And we're so thankful that somebody died for me, and not just for me, but for everyone in this building and for this whole world. Your Son, Jesus Christ, died for us. Help us to honor him. May this message be that which will bring glory to you, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I think about the thought, the Lord never fails, it makes me think about how time goes by. I don't know. I was just thinking, reflecting on preparing this video thing for John, that he had graduated in 2001. We're vastly approaching. Danny, you were in that group. And I mean, just a couple more years. Y'all going to be out of school for 20 years. By the way, you looked a lot thinner in that picture up there, and a little bit more hair. But anyway, I'm just ever so grateful that we can grumble about time going by, but the alternative is to be dead. So it's good we get to watch time go by. But as we get a little bit older, I'm more confirmed in it now than ever before that the Lord never fails. When I'm a 20-year-old saying that, maybe it doesn't ring a bell. But when I'm 30, it means more to me. 40, and now that I'm none of your business, that old, when you get on a little bit older, some of y'all are a good bit older than I am, old enough to be my mom and my daddy. Surely you have learned this over those many decades. You know it better now than you knew it then, that the Lord never fails. We don't know for sure, but we speculate that David wrote Psalm 71, and it's believed he wrote it in his mid-life years, what you might call a midlife crisis. I tend to think it was more like a few guys think he wrote a little bit later in life. And I tend to think that because he's reflecting on so many years that have gone by and all of the different things that have transpired in his life, and he still comes down to the conclusion that the Lord never fails. As time goes by, we all get a little bit older. And somebody said this, you know you're getting older when you reach the top of the ladder and find it leaning against the wrong wall. Surely you've been there, Bob. I'm sure you have. Or when a fortune teller offers to read your face rather than the lines on your hand because you have more wrinkles there. Or you have too much room in the house, not enough room in the medicine cabinet. you know you're getting old when that happens. But again, even though we age and get a little bit on up in years, the Lord never fails us. Age is really a relative matter for us, but it certainly isn't for God. He is the Ancient of Days. He's the Eternal One. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. And you can mark it down that God never ages or gets old like us. But when we think about it, we're just reminded that the Lord never fails. So wherever we are in any stage of life, God will help us. But especially as our congregation ages, I've noticed this, it's the younger ones that go out of town on Memorial Day, but the old folks stayed. Thank you all very much. But I would encourage you this. You might know that at age 53, some of y'all in that decade, Margaret Thatcher became Britain's first female prime minister. At 65, Winston Churchill became British prime minister for the first time and took on Hitler and the Third Reich. At 72, Golda Meir became prime minister of Israel. At 75, a fella I don't know, but Ed Delano of California, at the age of 75, bicycled, how do you say that? Why am I looking at you? You have no idea. He bicycled 3,100 miles in 33 days to attend his 50th college reunion in Massachusetts. At 81, Benjamin Franklin skillfully mediated between the disagreeing factions at the first U.S. Constitutional Convention. At 96 years of age, George Selbach scored a 110-yard hole-in-one at Indian River, Michigan golf course. And on his 100th birthday, pianist U.B. Blake exclaimed this. Listen to this quote. "If I had known I was going to live this long, I'd have taken better care of myself." I think most of us probably fall in that category. The implications of us getting older, somewhere down the way, the devil whispers in our ear, the world hollers at us, and occasionally our flesh rises up and said, "You know, you're going to keep going. One of these days, God's going to let you down. One of these days, you're going to hit a patch of trouble in your life, and you're not going to know what to do because God's not going to be there." I'm here to tell you this morning, the Lord never fails. There are different things that take place, but get this. These are some startling statistics that I'm becoming a part of. More than 87 million Americans will be over 65 by the year 2040, according to the National Institute of Aging. Today, the over 65 group accounts for about 30 million people. Life expectancy, about 200 years ago, the average life expectancy, 200 years ago, right after the founding of our country, life expectancy in America was 35 years of age. A child born today can expect to be or to live at least 80 years. The Lord promises us in the book of Psalms, promises 60, 70, which is 70 years. So if you get 80 by reason of strength, that's an extra blessing from God. The National Institute on Aging projects that in 2040, the life expectancy will be 86 years of age for men and 92 years for women. Now, how do you explain that women live longer? Because they ain't got to listen to themselves. But anyway, we'll move on. Woo, son. We're going to have revival here in America. The senior explosion is another implication. Now, I'm saying all this to show you, as we get older, we may fail more. We may fall more. But God never fails. The over 65 group is 20% of our total population. The American Association for Retired Persons. I used to get that junk in the mail, and I would be just plumb insulted. I'd go to Dairy Queen right down the road here, and they would look at me when I was like 48 and say, "Do you want the senior discount?" I was insulted by that type of thing. I mean, terrible. I'd go with Brother Plowman. Many of y'all know Brother Plowman over yonder in Lyons. We'd go somewhere, and we'd walk up, and he'd act like he's fixing to pay, and he'd say, "Granddaddy, what you want?" That's the way preachers treat one another. That's just plumb insulting that he would do something like that. And Matt, if you'd laugh with everybody else and shut up, Jay, I'd appreciate it. He can't even see me up here. He's legally blind. This is startling. According to the AARP, get this now, that if the AARP alone, who has 40 million members, if they were to become an independent nation, they would be the 13th largest nation in the world. That's amazing. There's a lot of old people. And I feel like I'm preaching to a bunch of them today. But some of y'all are not old, but you're praying that you get there. You either want the rapture to happen or you want to live a long time. And I'm here to tell you, whether the rapture takes place today or we live another 50 years, the Lord never fails. Psalm 71 is about that. I'll give you three quick things, three quick stanzas of a song, if you would. First one is Troubles. When I read the first 8 verses, I run into David running into troubles. Yet he stands firm in his position. He's got good ground for his salvation. He refers to the Lord by different names. Notice, if you would, in verse number 7, he uses this phrase, "Thou art my strong refuge." In verse number 4, he uses the word deliverer. That's like a rescuer, somebody that comes to his aid when he's in the middle of a bunch of trouble. Who's going to get me out of this mess I'm in? How many here today has ever got in a mess and you needed God to deliver you because the Uncle Sam couldn't get you out, the government couldn't help you, the military couldn't help you, family couldn't help you, the police couldn't help you? You needed God to help you, and I'm telling you, the Lord never fails. He's also spoken of in verse number 2 as, "Deliver me in thy righteousness." So David is saying, I'm in a mess. I'm going through some troubles. But I'm standing on some good ground because I've got a God who is my refuge. I've got a God who's my rescuer. I have a God who is my righteousness. Verse 3, I have a God who is my rock. Throughout the Middle East and certainly in the land of Israel, there are numerous outcroppings of rocks. And some of those rocks are meant to be able where you can get underneath them and find some shelter in the middle of storms. But more than that, there are rocks in that region that are bedrocks, foundational rocks. Reminded of what Jesus said, the person, the foolish man, builds his house on the sand, but the wise man builds his house on the rock. David knew more than a rock in the ground where he might build a house or a palace. David knew a God in heaven that was his rock. And don't you know this, when Jesus told Peter that he was the rock, he was referring to Peter as just a little stone. But when he said, upon this rock will I build my church, he meant the testimony that Peter gave. What was Peter's testimony? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And everything we believe is built on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that we can trust him that way. Troubles come. You got them now, you've been through them before, and no doubt they're coming again somewhere down the way, but I assure you, you're standing on good, firm ground when you're standing on the rock of Christ, and you know that in the end, he's going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and be the ruler one day. All these things are meant to remind us that the Lord never fails. Why doesn't he fail? Because he's the Lord. He's mentioned in these verses, you'll notice words like Lord, all capital letters in verse 1, L-O-R-D, all are capitals. You'll notice God in verse number 4, for instance, in a capital G, little O, little D. Now, this is important. In your King James Bible, those represent different names of God, from Jehovah God to Elohim to Adonai, these different names that the Hebrew people used on different occasions. They're not just arbitrarily thrown in the Bible to fill up space. This is not you and me writing a research paper in the 9th grade where we took the book, turned it over, and read the back cover and wrote the research paper with a lot of fluff in between. Every word in the Bible is verbally inspired. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means every single word is God-breathed. So if he said Lord as in Jehovah God, the personal, the great I am, that's why he's our rock. If he said Adonai, the one who's our master and leader and ruler, that's why he's our rock. If he said Elohim, he meant the God who had the power to create out of nothing. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Then that God is the one. Why is he our rock? Because of who he is. Now, I tend to think it this way, though. He's our rock because of what he does for me. Because that's kind of what I reflect on. But it'd be a good day in all of our lives. We would grow spiritually if we learn to appreciate the Lord for who he is, not just for what he does. Because if you're not careful, you'll fall in love with the gifts more than the giver. You'll think more about what God's given you. And then when you don't get as much, it'll be like we used to get mad at our family members whenever we were little kids and somebody got more presents than we did. And we'd be upset. Well, you don't love me as much. You know, Joe got 5 presents, I got 2, that kind of thing. Shame on us. We ought to be more in love with our parents and those who loved us than the gifts that they gave us. who are we talking about the other day that was wanting to marry Santa Claus? Who was that? I forget, one of the little kids. Was it Madison? Said she wanted to grow up, Nick's little girl, Madison, she wanted to grow up and marry Santa Claus. I think that's an awesome thing. And I know what she's thinking this. Santa Claus loves me, my daddy don't. And my Santa Claus will give me stuff my daddy won't. My daddy said we can't afford it. You can hear Nick now, every one of us can. You can't, if we can't afford that, we ain't got no money. Daddy, you make a bunch. No, I don't. I just spent a bunch on that thing for John. I don't have any money left. I can hear that right now, but I'm going to tell you right now, you can mark it down that daddies and mamas and all of us may fail, but if we keep our eyes on Jesus, he never fails us. I said there were three things. That's one. Let me give you number two and three real quick. Number two, I won't take time to read verse 9 down through about verse number 14, but this is the second part of it, and there's a very important factor that's brought up in these verses. And it's even hinted at in verse number 1 where he said, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. And in verses 9 through 14, he references all that. So the second word that I would call your attention to after trouble is trust. How important is that? Well, if you pulled out a dollar bill today, you'd read these words, in God we trust. But you know as well as I do, there's millions of people out there using those dollar bills and flaunting that currency here and there that don't believe in God and certainly don't trust Him. It's one thing to have the slogan, it's another thing to really do it. And when I read this, I find out that one of the things that David was reflecting on is that in the middle of his troubles, he knew he could count on God to help him, but he also knew that there were difficulties that came in which he must trust God when it don't look good on the horizon. He had to trust God when the fear was being felt. I don't know if you ever get scared. There's a few things in life that scare me. One of them is snakes. I am terrified of snakes. Recently, every year, the seniors here at our Christian school try to pull some smart aleck prank on me. All it amounts to is daring me to expel them from school. And I'll be honest with you, I like to have done it this year. And this year, we only have 5 graduates this year. 2 of them were girls. You want to know who pulled the prank? The girls. The girls pulled the prank. These 2 girls did. I go in my office, and I open my office up. I find in there about 100 balloons all over the floor. Now, that's kind of funny. But then between me and my desk is about 50 cups, styrofoam cups, filled with water. That I have to either pick up one by, Alexis, this is not funny, and either pick them up or leap over them. And of course, being the athlete I did, I daintily leaped over it. That kind of looked gay. But anyway, I apologize. I'll jump more manly next time. Anyway, jumped over the thing, and then I called brother. I said, what in the world? He knew about it. I don't know if he condoned it. He not approved of it, but he did condone it. And so one of the 7th grade boys came in there, little Nathan Rosentrader. He's 7th grade, about this tall. He came in there and commenced to trying to drink all the water out of all the cups. He went through about 25 of them. I said, just give up, son. You're going to be using the bathroom for an hour and a half. Just go pour them out. So I finally got all the stuff out. Well, I thought that was it. Then I go sit down at my desk. And when I open the middle drawer of my desk, there's a rubber snake in there. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care if it's rubber. It might as well have been a live king cobra fixing to leap out at me because it scared me. That wasn't the end of it. I got that up. By this time, I'm really mad. I'm on the brink of cussing. I'm just about ready to let it go. I got that snake and I threw it in the trash as quick as I could. I went around there and I have a restroom in my office off to the side there. And I went in there, opened the door up, walked in there, and went over. And as I began to lift the lid on the toilet, there was 2 snakes sitting right there. Cheryl, why is that funny to you? Do you want to be a member of another church? Anyway, unbelievable. And so, you know what this does? Now I'm like, where else are they? And I'm just thinking, any day now, I'm going to find one in a book. Like, pull out an old Bible somewhere and open it up. There's a snake right in the middle of it. And then I'm going to revoke all of their diplomas. Nobody's going to be able to graduate. But now that's something I'm scared of. What you scared of? Now, it's probably not something like snakes, but you know, I found this out as you go on through life. Other thing, I hear about Miss Becky or cancer coming back. That's a scary thing. Somebody, the Lord calls them home, and you wonder how they're going to deal with it, and what if it happened in your family? That's a scary thing. You think about what happened John, I can still remember the going away party we had for him. Danny, you might remember it too, over at Sybil's and Jessup at the restaurant there. And I said to my wife as we left, I said, this went too good. That was one of the greatest farewell parties I've ever had with anybody. And I said, it just feels good, but something feels weird. And I think about 3 months later is when the Lord had called him home, when that IED hit his vehicle. It's a horrible thing. Is that scary? Now, I'll say this. I might not name it today, but everybody in here is scared of something. It might be some thing in life, making it on your own, somehow surviving. I'm just here to say this to you. When those scary times come, you're going to have to trust God. And there just is no easy way to say it. You've just got to say, Lord, I'm scared. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to face the next day, but God, I'm scared. God appreciates honesty. And He honors us when we're telling Him our whole heart, Lord, I'm scared. I need Your help. David learned that. The fear he was feeling, the foes he was facing. By the way, all the enemies that you have in life are not always people. Sometimes there are emotional enemies, if you would, spiritual enemies out there, and certainly financial, and also in many different areas, so just physical things you might have to face. All of these things can be enemies. But David is putting forth this idea. All this happens, but keep your eyes on the Lord. Mindful of what the writer Hebrews said when he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. We just need, troubles are going to come, fears are going to come, hardships are going to come, but let's keep our eyes on Jesus. And the last thing is another T, and that is testimony. This is found in the last 10 or 12 verses there of how David offers his praise to God. We don't have time to read all the verses, but it's certainly there. You know, sometimes as folks get older, they get more critical. As they go through more steps in life and hardships hit them, well, if you've been through what I've been through, if all the things hit you that hit me, you might get sour and you might get mean and you might get cantankerous and you might get critical as you get older. If all of us would just remember this, no matter how bad it gets, the Lord never fails. I can't fix the problem. I can't put duct tape on everything. But I can assure you this much, there is a God in heaven who will never, ever, 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 ever fail you, and you can count on Him, and you will be able to give the testimony later on that God helped me when I needed Him most of all. And I don't know how in the world we would make it if we did not have a God that would be there for us. Whether we're young or old, middle-aged or in declining health, there is a God in heaven that when we fail, and we fall, and we trip, and we mess up, and something hits us that we don't know how to deal with, I'm here to tell you today, Psalm 71, go home and read it, let it speak to your heart. It reminds us of this great truth that we all need, the Lord never fails. Let's stand together.